Kelly. It's about kind of, it's a storytelling show. It's about her career as an educator. And I got to see it yesterday, and it's very earnest and it's very sweet. And also, small children sometimes are disgusting. Yeah. And that comes through very well as well. So yeah, if you could
I
see
hate
Morning
kids,
Kids,
so I would like the show.
Yeah, absolutely, yes. Oh. If you love them, if you hate them, if you're unsure what to do with them, she absolutely kills the staging of a Schoolhouse Vibe.
Now, you, Bobby, have you ever done your own show in Winnipeg?
So this is my first time, not only in Winnipeg, but Canada in general.
Whoa.
So
wow.
I did. I will say, as of this morning, I learned what a double-double is. So I feel like that alone means we've had some sort of cultural exchange, right?
Yeah, you get your citizenship card as soon as
you get
that's
what I understand. Pretty much it. So I'm part Canadian at this point.
Now, you're American your whole life?
Yes. Yeah. My whole life. I didn't catch it.
This is what I do not understand.
Oh.
Why does every single thing in the whole entire country have sugar in it except iced tea?
So you're talking to the wrong guy in a ways, because I'm from the American South, where diabetes is just in the tap water. Yeah. Sweet tea is made by like old grandmas who somehow, like granny refuses to die despite the everything being fried, the biscuits being pure white flour, and the tea being so sweet, it's got the viscosity of motor oil. So yeah, you're talking about what we Southerners would call Yankee tea, which has no sugar or salt.
You're talking about the South, and Megan is over there in her sundress, and she's fanning herself like this, and she's exactly.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. She'll be Marion Stock.
Will you come back and do a show yourself?
I would love to. Yeah, I debuted a show of my own, a solo storytelling show in Orlando last year. Had a great time. I just took it to the Atlanta Fringe Festival a month ago, which Georgia's my hometown, really, or my home state. So Atlanta was kind of a homecoming. Had a great time. And honestly, I've enjoyed being in Winnipeg this last week. The Fringe here, the vibe is incredible. So I will absolutely bring a show next year.
He's also learned how to connect with the Canadian locals with passive aggression.
Oh my God. Yeah. Everyone said that, Canadians are so nice, right? And like, no, I've just observed the most intensely passive aggressive behavior.
Brutal.
Everyone's like, hey, next time, would you mind? Oh, sorry, I will. And the undercurrent is like, you son of a... you like it is a remarkable energy.
It's a heavy
like
vibe,
in the States, we're a little bit more direct with our frustration.
You just shoot someone. I get it.
Where's your guns? Everyone's talking about the stabbings in Winnipeg. I'm like, LOL, guys. Call me when you nerds get guns. Then I'll be afraid. Come on, what are we talking about here? Give me a real threat.
Megan, what shows do you want to go see? I feel like that's the question I asked him about 15 minutes ago, but I don't remember.
Yeah, no, definitely Mornings at Miss Mabel's. I mean, I've seen it, and it's wonderful. And also, The Naked Mennonite is dope. It's so funny. I know, actually, Circle Sphere, I'm looking forward to. It's like a fantasy musical vibe. There's elf ears.
Yeah.
Which is kind of weird. Come back to me because I wasn't prepared for the question.
No, we're pretty much done. I'm not coming back. Devin, what do you want to see?
Man, I'm going to be at the Club Soda Improv show. That's my...
So you don't want to go see anything? Okay.
No.
Oh, 7 minutes in Kevin.
7 minutes in Kevin.
Yeah, and also the Club Soda Improv show, right?
And also the Club Soda Improv show.
I did my job
Club
here.
Soda's my favorite drink at the bar.
Do you know that I was at the Legion the other day, and they had like not club soda but tonic water, and they have those little tops that you put on and you just pop it open to, like, have you ever seen that? They have a little thing you can put on a can.
Are you describing a can? No.
You can save it.
something okay. More. I can't really see you from over here, sorry.
Thank you so much, Bobby. Just say,
glad to be here.
Yeah. Megan, thank you, Megan.
Always a pleasure, Kelly. Always a pleasure.
Thank you, Devin.
Kelly, thank you. Nice
let's play
you.
A song from Maplewood,
hey,
Devin.
Man,
I've got it open on my phone. Which
Thanks,
song
man.
Should Which song should I play?
I would play Hit Well Your Mark.
Hit Well Your Mark. This is CKOW. I'll be back in a moment. This is some old music by Devin Gillingham.
Give up yourself, try and wait out the questions asked by someone else, try and hold on, making your quiet judgments open opportunities.
and that was some music by Devin Gillingham, who was just in here. Good afternoon. I am Brother Kelly Hughes, Chaplain of the Arts. I'm broadcasting live from the Ivory Tower, CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada. Also, CKUW.ca worldwide. And in space, it is 4:08 p.m. And I am definitely in here longer than I normally am. I'm in here about 3 hours, and I'm here for another 2 hours. Lots of... 23 degrees, partly cloudy. I am supposed to tell you that for legal reasons. Mitch Cron is going to be here. Sarah May, Willa Rosenberg, and Sophie something-something. But you guys should come in. Can you hear me? Guests should come in. Guests are going to come in, and they're going to sit here, and that's going to be amazing. And then tomorrow... Tomorrow I'm not here. I think we're going to wrap this fringe stuff up Thursday. Thursday at 1 o'clock, we've got Greg Wood, and then someone who's somebody who's doing the ballet show thing about mobility issues. Does anybody know what that is? It is. I've got so many messages here. Johan Gur. She's French. Anyway, we have more guests in, which is super exciting. We have got Teresa. Hi, Teresa.
Hi there. How's it going?
You got to talk into your mic. We're on the radio. Yeah. yeah. You got to be right up in the. I didn't have a chance to give them their instructions. You have to be right up in the tape.
Right up here. In the grill.
Yeah. Right up in the grill. And then who do we have there?
Thomas McLeod.
Oh man, I love how he says that with such confidence.
Thank you.
So we have got Thomas McLeod and
Teresa Thompson.
Teresa Thompson. That's confusing because they're almost the same thing. Basically, you guys have
Thompson
the same name
and
twice.
Thomas.
What's the show? Did you give me a thing? Did you give me a flyer?
Yeah, our show is House of Gold. And we just got a message literally in the last 5 minutes. That's why you saw us frantically posting.
You still need to be got to be right.
Still not here.
Right.
You
here.
Can move it. You can move it if it's not where you want to be. You don't have to move to the. You can just sit where you want and
can
then move it to
up.
You.
Love
just
that.
So we can't hear you. I can hear you in the room, but
right.
There's other people out there.
How's this?
Yeah, you got the.
You're good, Thomas.
Yeah.
Teresa's the problem.
We haven't heard that before. Yeah. We just got word that our entire run is sold out now.
Amazing.
Yeah, we had two tickets left and they just went.
That is amazing. A House of Gold written by Thomas McLeod, directed by Teresa Thompson, a country western dark comedy with a twist. And this is happening over at Venue 12 at Art Space, The Output. Mm-hmm. Is that just like across from Cinematheque?
It's on the second floor from
okay,
Cinema.
Okay, same building, yeah.
In the second floor, so there's air conditioning in there?
There are a couple window units that the venue provides.
Okay.
It hasn't been bad, though.
No, if you leave them on long enough.
We do leave them on during our show, because...
And it's sort of accessible, right? To the
absolutely, yep.
Yeah.
There is an elevator.
Yeah,
and there's a wheelchair lift specifically at our venue, our side of the venue. From the street level.
Yep.
Yeah. And your next show is tonight at 9?
Tis.
And I would, it says who's in it, but it's so small. So you just tell me who's in it.
Oh, they're rock stars. So Thomas here is in it as well.
Sure.
Maggie Corrine, Dane Bjornson, Alana McPherson, Andrew Riley, Aaron Shaw. And Alora Kempthorne is our stage manager.
Yeah. Is Alana McPherson part of the McPherson acting dynasty or a different one?
I think
she's starting her own acting dynasty.
Exactly
what's happening. That's what's happening.
That is amazing.
Several U of W students, current U of W students.
And so how? So the show is sold out. You have got five more.
Yeah.
This is a BYOV, right?
Tis.
Because you got 10 shows.
Mm-hmm.
How many is it seat?
60.
Yeah, that's a nice size.
Yeah,
it's
nice
good.
You want to sell your shows out. It's nice to sell your shows out in a smaller venue than being drowning in the 180 seat, you know.
Yeah.
There's pros and cons.
On the sold out page, it's like us and Colin Mochrie, and slightly different.
Is he like? I've seen people post pictures of him. Is he in French?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, he has a select few shows, actually.
Oh, okay.
Speaking of our cast, Alana just posted on our group chat.
I like
that she got an extra ticket.
She did a thumb thing
for the radio
to indicate that she was doing.
Yeah, it's for me, so I don't get lost. They're like my own subtitles,
for you.
But they're my paws. Yeah, I mean, if anybody else finds joy, that's awesome. But
do you get confused? Do you forget things? Do you lose things?
Yeah, it's a good morning. Are you fringe right now?
Are you ADHD, Teresa?
Yeah, how can you tell?
You know what? It's kind of a people think I'm like very clever when I guess they're ADHD.
No,
but
it's
because
we can smell each other.
If you,
am I right?
It's just the heat. It's the heat.
Yeah.
But it's very. If you ask somebody who's a fringe performer if they're ADHD, it's about a 1 in 2 chance that they're going to say yes. So
it's true.
Because if you weren't, you'd probably would find a normal, live a normal life.
Yeah.
Like a normal person.
Yeah, I don't know what else I'd want to do.
Yeah.
I don't have ADHD.
Mess. You don't.
I'm the other one of the two. I have other stuff, but yeah. One out of every two fringers is me.
Well, and that's why we sync up well.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
You know what, though? I've asked a number of fringe artists how many of them are Thomas McLeod, and none of them have said yes. So
I know.
I think 1 out of 2 people are not you.
I appreciate that.
What's the show about?
So the show is about country legend John Gold, and if you haven't heard of him, it's because Thomas made him up, and he is of course deceased. And the play is his adult children desperately trying to keep that legend alive, because of course they've all built their own businesses and lives kind of around that legacy. Okay. So they got to keep it fresh.
The cash cow.
That's right.
That's interesting. All of
the pressure is now on John Gold's grandson,
Jimmy,
who sort of hasn't been given a lot of a choice, and the family's success or failure is now on his shoulders, and him becoming the next John Gold, literally.
Where did that come from, Thomas?
I read an article about 5 or 6 years ago where they were talking about cloning now is like a scientific possibility, and they were saying...
I didn't think this is where this was going, but okay.
We could... Well, that is what the show is about, is Jimmy's not his grandson, but his clone.
Oh, you gave it away.
Well, no one's coming to the show. Everyone's already bought tickets.
Everybody paid. You don't care. They can tell.
The premise is the twist. That's the thing. Yeah. It's a hard thing to beat around the bush on that, but yeah. I read an article about 5 or 6 years ago where they were like, cloning is getting so good now, like one day we'll be able to clone John Lennon. And I thought, why would we do that? Who cares?
Yeah.
If you just clone
John
Lennon, he's just a British
dude. Fuck the Beatles, I hear you. Yeah.
But I just mean he wouldn't be John Lennon. He'd just be some British dude, It's not the genetic thing that made him John Lennon. It was, playing those sold-out shows in Edinburgh,
Although on Star Trek, sometimes people are replaced by their clones and they're still them.
True.
Yeah.
Did you see Picard? Did you see the last...
I saw most of the last one. I want to say the second. Yeah.
No, this is... Well, I don't know anything about cloning, but that idea of, people trying to keep the gravy train running is very interesting to me, because I am... I know somebody, actually, who's done that.
Doug Ford.
Doug Ford. Whose gravy train is he keeping running? The Rob Ford?
His own, yeah.
Actual literal gravy, though. This is not a person I know, but here's a different example. But the C.S. Lewis estate.
Yep.
He died in 1963.
Yeah.
And they've just been riding that thing to death forever. And I'm a little bit I feel like copyright is a bit much, because back in the day, Shakespeare's day, everybody just ripped everybody off, right?
Totally.
And you did your own thing with it, but you couldn't sue anybody for your intellectual property, right?
Yeah. Right.
It's big business, that whole thing of Michael Crichton. He's been dead for about 15 years, mm-hmm. and he's got a new book out, which is a bestseller written by him and James Patterson, which is hilarious because James Patterson does not write any of his own books.
No, yeah. His interns.
He writes, exactly. He writes like the outlines and gets the interns, and so mm-hmm. Michael Crichton's dead. Patterson doesn't write any of his own books, so who wrote this book? Yeah. That's what I want to know.
ChatGPT, yeah.
Well, while we were in rehearsals, Johnny Cash released new songs.
Yeah, Johnny Cash just released a new album a couple weeks ago. It's not that good.
Not that good.
Because it's all his unreleased songs, and you're like, I know why he didn't release it.
Yeah. How about the thing where they like take like vocal track from somebody like, I think, you know, like they did that with John Lennon and with like Freddie Mercury, they kind of like make a thing around it.
Yeah, they're training AI on that. I mean, this show is a lot of it is about AI as well. It's not explicitly about it, but it is just about like what happens to art when it is only in the hands of business people, with MBAs, you know, like... the whole thing with the Warner Brothers Discovery that's been happening with David Zaslav and everything, they're like putting movies in the vault because they can get a tax write-off. They're never releasing movies.
Yeah.
You know, it's...
He's terrible.
He's terrible.
Most people don't... I'm glad that you brought David Zaslav up because I hate him and most people don't know who he is from Adam, but that's like... I mean, you're... It's like they've forgotten that they're in the business of making movies and entertaining people. And it's very, I think, you know, it must be very demoralizing for all those people that are work there Certainly. That are trying to make movies and do stuff. And
in case anybody accidentally thought that making a movie was art or film, he's corrected us and reminding us it's actually
It's because he's the Discovery guy who's like reality TV, which is, you know, not, I do watch some slop.
It is interesting to me that we are kind of at like peak content, you know, we're at this kind of time where there's everybody, you know, there's everybody wants all this stuff and yet everybody claims to be losing money and everybody, you know, like, oh, we can't put this movie out or,
we can't pay artists.
You know, and Furiosa bombed. It's just kind of interesting, you know, and TV is like going the way of the dodo, just regular TV. You know, Paramount's having a bunch of, they've been taken over by another company, and there's all this stuff about, you know, their streaming service is maybe gonna, you know, be gobbled up by somebody else, or they're gonna sell it, or all this kind of stuff. And it's just interesting to me that all people want to do is be entertained, and there's all this kind of like,
and how can we complicate that?
Super, you know, there's like, you know, these four companies that own everything, and they're all kind of like this. And I mean, that's why it's so nice that we have this, because nobody's ever going to gobble you guys up. They'd spit you back out.
Famous last words.
To be fair, if anyone is listening, like, I would love some work. So I'm super gobbleable.
You want to be both kinds of sellout. I get it.
I'd love to be an auteur with a lot of money.
Is there song? Songs, country
there
songs?
There is an original song in this.
There's an original song that me and Dane Bjornson, who is the musical arranger for Mabuhay, which just finished its run, he and I are recording it, and we're going to be releasing it after because people keep asking for it.
Nice. Give the people what they want.
Yeah. Well, exactly. At least the cast. They think it's very catchy.
Yeah.
But at various parts throughout, Jimmy's singing it, and he's just not good at all. You know, like the grandson.
Yeah.
And it's just accentuating, like, talent is not something that you can have genetically. It's something that is practiced and earned, you know.
You're too young, but have you ever happened to see Crocodile Shoes?
No, I haven't.
Crocodile Shoes stars Jimmy Nail. It's a British... a series, but like short, you know, like 16 episodes or something, and it's about this guy, a Northern English guy who is super into country music and becomes like a star and goes to Nashville, and it's very entertaining, and he's this big goofy guy with broken English teeth, and anyway,
I love that. I should check it out.
I don't know where you can find that. So what do you guys want to see? What's happening out in the fringe world that you have seen or that you want to see? Or I don't mean what you want to see from me. I just mean like...
I just saw a taste of Blood in the Mouth, which is in our same venue, the Venue 12, The Output, which is put together by my friend Kinsey Donald, and it's quite good. It's a sort of thriller, psychological thriller interview between a journalist and an inmate. Tracy's going to see it tonight.
I am hoping to see it tonight. And I'm also really, the other show I'm really looking forward to today is The River.
Oh, yeah.
Directed by Emma Wellum.
Emma Wellum.
And
just
it's
got
playing
into
MTYP's main stage.
MTYP's main stage. And she just got into the National Theater School for directing.
I know.
So she's quite good. You know, she was good before that. And now she has some.
Well, and she's another former student.
Yes.
Like I collect former students. Mm-hmm. Most of the people in this show are former students of mine. Emma's a former student.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And
It's
amazing. It's amazing watching what they're doing.
Yeah. Students become the masters.
True story.
Yeah.
True story. Yeah.
So many people that we just already knew, and people are like, oh, these are such good actors. Where did you find these people? And it's like, well, I just knew them. I just knew them.
And when Thomas and I started talking about me directing this, and I dug the script, and, you know, we talked about producing it together, and that was cool. And that he let me know that he was going to act in it as well. And that is a combination that should go wrong. It shouldn't have worked. Mm-hmm. And Thomas is one of, you know, my favorite theater partnerships that I've got to have now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Well,
it just works.
Well, you're not supposed to direct something you've written.
No, yeah. He didn't do that. He picked up on that one. That was good.
Tell me about, you said Mabuhay. Do you think it was a success in terms of getting some new audiences over to Rainbow?
I think so. I think so. There were people there who were like thrilled to be there that it was happening.
Because it feels like, I mean, there's 80,000 Filipinos, for mm-hmm. example, in Winnipeg.
Right.
And I was saying this the other day, but I'll keep saying it. I mean, we've done a terrible job of, you know, our audiences are white. They're mm-hmm. old. And I mean, we love, you know, the 65-year-old white people at Fringe. But I mean, that's, mm-hmm. you know, we need younger audiences, which is a thing they're doing this year with, you know, $10 tickets and whatever they're doing, kind of a thing with that. And but, you know, we've done a terrible job with people of color. So
yeah,
I think this, I didn't go to Mabuhay, but I was just curious, you know, if it kind of felt like a thing that maybe was a success just in terms of like getting new people to come.
Yeah, I mean, there were definitely like there were people there who just were so thrilled it was happening. And like the thing about appealing to younger audiences is that you can't just expect people who have never like engaged with theater before to be like, oh, here's why this is good. And it was simultaneously a reality show and a theatrical production, right? And there were people like hooting and hollering during the show, and it was just a great energy and everything.
And I didn't I got to see the dress run, tech run. I am not Filipino myself, but I was able to
really.
Well, I'm saying this because you can't see me acting out with my hands.
Yeah.
How pale I am. But
are you Italian? Because you keep doing this.
I'm trying now.
Gesticulating.
No, but I was able to access that musical just as much as I was, because I wasn't a mermaid, and I enjoyed Little Mermaid. So, you know, I'm not from London. Mary Poppins looks great.
Is there a bit of bitterness that you were never a mermaid? Is that
I'm not
sore? Yeah. Sore?
She's
sore
fine.
Spot?
She's fine. She's
How
fine.
Did you pick up on that?
Kelly.
That really
Kelly.
Good. I can't flip this desk. It's clearly bolted down.
Red-haired representation, though, and for
I
you.
I know, but then I went blonde this summer and ruined it.
Devastating.
And I don't really think it's about. I imagine that, you know, anybody would be able to go see that and would enjoy it and would like it.
Mm-hmm.
If you like music, it is about representation. It's about
Absolutely.
People seeing people up on the stage that look like them. And then, you know, but I guess you have to build that, right? I mean,
it has to be authentic,
you know.
But you're also not alienating anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So yes, I mean, if that makes people feel more welcome into a space, that's exactly, and I think it does.
Yeah.
I think that's exactly what needs to happen. People such as myself who have long loved, you know, musical theater.
Yeah.
It's sometimes it's creakiness even. Can totally still access the new stuff.
Yeah.
Great.
Mm-hmm. But it is interesting because you're talking about the, you know, kind of the idea of theater and the format itself and all that kind of stuff. Every once in a while I try to watch one of these things on TikTok or wherever that people love, and it's very I'm too old. I don't. I'm like.
Like just a TikTok as a format? Well, or
no,
just
but like. Okay, so. But this. So there's like a. I mean, TikTok. TikTok is just. I don't really want to watch somebody yelling at me for 45 seconds.
It's brain melting.
But like, there's this show on YouTube that's like a Korean. Done by Korean American young people, and it's like. It's like kind of part like. Korean soap opera and part like kind of weird mystery and part like something else and like and it's like got millions and millions and millions and millions of followers and there are like these 11 minute long episodes. Can't remember what it's called, and I tried to watch it and I hated it so much. But it's not for me, right? But right. But I feel like as creators and as people that are not, you know, I don't know about you, but you, me and you are not 18.
Much older than you.
I think that we need to like
31's not that old.
Oh, sorry. But bless. Thank you.
Get a room. I think
no.
I think that it's important for us to figure out how to get those people to even just to come. Right.
I 100% agree. I've been working with teens and younger students in that for a long time.
I'm sorry.
No, you know what? I legitimately love it. If you look at a teen's brain chemistry, they are naturally mentally unbalanced. I think that's where maybe I meet them. I don't know. But I've been doing the Winnipeg Fringe as long as Thomas has been alive.
Same year.
And every so, I don't know
what that means, but I like it.
Yeah. Every so often, the age difference will rear its ugly head in rehearsals working with people where I'm like, oh yeah, we're not all within 5 years of each other.
Yeah.
But there's a mutual respect and there's a learning from, and there's one of the things I'm so impressed with this script is the, it's super witty, and the humor that Thomas has written into it accesses multiple different generations.
Okay.
So there's some nights where the, you know, it might be an older crowd, and there's some jokes that might get missed or not. Yeah. You don't hear an auditory response. Yeah. And then there's others where, like, you know, there's a cell phone ring that will go off and some people recognize that song and some won't or whatever.
Yeah, or like or like one of the characters says, "You're so brat," and then everybody's like, I love it. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah,
yeah, we have a they them baddie reference in the show at one point. Somebody drops that and some people in the audience get it right away and others are like, "What?"
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Karma by JoJo Siwa is the cell phone ringtone, which
it's
is
just the funniest.
It's just a silly song for 20-year-olds. But that's a joke that was come up with by the cast. You know, I feel very happy about the script, but the cast was so smart and so dialed into the process that I feel very lucky to have gotten to work on it with these people specifically.
Tell me, tell me what that song is called. Budgie.
Karma by JoJo Siwa.
It's
Karma by
JoJo Siwa.
Okay, there we go.
She was on Dance Moms.
It's bad. I don't know what that is, but you know what? We're going to play the song to take us out. House. Why not?
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely. Why not? Please do.
Because I get somebody people waiting out there. House of Gold is sold out, so don't even try to go to it.
You can try.
It is written by Thomas McLeod, directed by Teresa Thompson, a country western dark comedy with a twist over at Art Space. But again, you're out. You missed it.
Karma's a bitch indeed.
Yeah.
No, I don't know.
Thank you so much, Teresa.
Cheers. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much, Thomas.
Thanks so much, Kelly.
More guests coming up in a moment. Here is a song I've never heard, but I'm about to hear. Karma, JoJo Siwa. We'll be right back.
I was a bad girl. I did some bad things. Where I did it all for fun and it meant nothing. It never happened. It was a secret. Like when a tree falls in the forest, no one hears it. Another late night, another crazy mood. And I didn't think twice, but it would do to you. I was a wild child, you always knew it. It was a matter of time.
before I blew it. A good girl, I think she's boring. Believe me, 20 minutes later you'll be snoring. But it still kills me that you hooked up with her, and now the universe is giving me what I deserve.
That is maybe the end of the song. That is, I don't know, something by somebody. Karma by JoJo Siwa. Not a thing that I'm familiar with. I'm Kelly Hughes. This is the Ivory Tower, CKUW 95. Not the Ivory Tower. It sort of is. It's CKUW anyway, 95.9 FM in Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Boy, we're doing so many hours of Fringe. I'm just going to turn your mic on. This is the wrong one.
All right.
Mitch Cron is in here. Hey, Mitch, how you doing?
Pretty good.
Thank you for stopping by. Do you have a flyer for your show?
I do.
Okay, I'll let you dig that out.
Okay.
You know what? This is so I've been here since 1 o'clock. I'm going to be here for another hour and 25 minutes. My stomach is making all kinds of noises, so I forgot to eat, and that's on me. And there we go.
I do have snack if you want.
Is it a little thing of Cheerios? A little.
It's a Cheerio bar, but I do have some. I do have some fruit roll-ups as well. Or not Cheerio bar, it's a Rice Krispie bar.
I didn't think they made Cheerio bars. Captain Ted, Disabled Pirate.
Yes.
By Mitch Cron. That is happening at 188 Princess Venue 23. You have a show tonight at 7.
That's correct.
Which is family friendly.
Yes.
So you've taken all the F-bombs out, and it is got audio description. Is that like... Is it a headphone thing, or what is that?
Yeah, I believe it is. It's we do have The View are doing audio description. They're kind of the people that do it in the city.
Yeah.
And yeah, they describe what our characters look like, what kind of action's happening on the scene.
And they just do it like in a mic, and people just have
And they have headphones.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
How about ASL? It says ASL available all shows.
Yes.
Have you had ASL for all your shows or no?
No. Yeah, we have made sure that ASL's it's interpreted every show.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Now, this show kind of puts all the things together. You know. Zany comedy, and then your recent experiences being a, you know, fairly recent experiences being a disabled pilot.
Woo!
Being a disabled pirate. Do people love it?
We've had really good responses from patrons have really said that they've been touched by what they've seen, and some people are like, I really learned something out of this, and other people are like, this really empowered me, and yeah, some of the responses have been really shocking, more so than what I was expecting. I was just writing a fun comedy. Yeah.
Shocking, like in what kind of way?
It's just there's one person that felt like they're being represented. There's another person that said, I feel more confident about myself. Yeah. Seeing other disabled actors on stage,
yeah,
and, like, primarily a disabled crew, yeah, all doing this, and they just yeah.
Now you have been using a wheelchair not your whole life.
No.
This has been how long? No.
7 years now.
7 years.
Yeah.
And how much time before that, 7 years ago, how much time did you spend thinking about accessibility?
To be honest, I mean, I don't think I thought too much about accessibility. I mean, I was very aware when I was met with it, like when I was with people who needed it, but yeah, just for myself, yeah,
You can walk around, go wherever you want, do whatever you
yeah,
want.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't have to, you know, sit there for 15 minutes because we could, you know, the door doesn't open. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, yeah.
But I guess you must be used to that now. Like, you can't rush around because you got to wait on everybody else.
Well, yeah. I mean, to a point. I mean, there's some businesses are really making efforts to put accessibility needs first, and then there's lots of businesses that are like, our physical space doesn't allow it, and there's some places that just are like, are kind of disregarding it. So
Well, and speaking of that, I mean, you're like, you are able to get into your venue.
Yes.
But it's you have to make arrangements if you want to.
Yes. It's because there's a freight elevator.
So has that been, I mean, have the people that have wanted to come, have, as far as you know, have they been able to?
Has for the most part. I did talk to a patron yesterday who hadn't come to the show yet because they felt like they were a little confused. They're like, your posters say accessible, everybody else is saying it's accessible, but the fringe says it's not accessible.
Yeah.
Not really sure what's going on, but it is accessible. It's actually one of the venues at the fringe that I personally feel the most comfortable at.
Okay.
And I've been performing there with my improv troupe since like 2017.
It's so the West End Cultural Center is accessible.
Yes.
If you're in the audience. But if you're a performer, the stage is not accessible,
right,
and the green room is not accessible. It's in the basement, and somebody performed there a while ago who uses a wheelchair, and they had to lift them up, and the stage is like this high.
Yeah, I used to do something with the BS Comedy Players, and we looked at that venue for one of our shows, and we just kind of had to.
And I had a friend who uses a wheelchair who, you know, will not go somewhere unless he can get there under his own steam. You know what I mean? So
yeah, I understand
you
that.
Can't, and I get that. I mean, you can't, you know, if there's three stairs, he's got to be carried up. No, he won't go. And I mean, I understand that because it's about independence and agency and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And so,
yeah.
You know, I understand because you don't want to be, it's kind of like this, it's this way of othering, you know, being othered, right? For not any reason except that buildings are not
exactly
built in the way that they maybe should be built.
Yeah.
And we are, you know, this project that I'm working on, the Valiant Theater, it's in this old church that was built in 1901.
Mm-hmm.
And we are going to spend $100,000 on renovations. And most of that is accessible bathrooms and accessible the general accessibility, you know, the big ramp and the door right. and all that right. stuff, honestly, we have to do it, but also it's super important. Like, it's important to me, like, and I've talked to people, like a friend of mine who uses a wheelchair, and I said, like, what's important? And she said, well, what's important to me is when you have the button that opens the door.
Yes.
Don't put it somewhere where I have to, where, you know, it's in a dumb spot, and then the door's going to close on me as I'm trying to get to the door itself. You know,
yes.
Something like that, which, an architect or an engineer or a contractor or whatever is going to be like, oh, yeah, let's put this here because this is where the wires are. But a person who is actually using it, and it's another one of these things about, you know, is this a thing I'm thinking about, right?
Yeah,
because
no,
there's
that's totally
there's it. The letter of the code, and then there's, you know, what things are actually useful for people. You know,
that, yeah, that's very very true. It's like when companies had to start thinking about accessibility, I think a lot of them just did the status quo, like, oh yeah, we have a grab bar in the bathroom, it's great. Well, no, it's not very useful for somebody who actually needs to use it.
But. Yeah. So now you have been doing, theater, you've been doing improv, you've been doing comedy, you've been doing stuff for a long time, many yep. years. And when 7 years ago, when you were not well, how long did you stop doing stuff for?
I would say probably the length of time it took me to start getting my senses back while I was in the hospital.
Yeah.
I was producing a fringe show from my hospital bed at Health Science Center just after I had had a surgery.
So you didn't, you just kept going. You didn't
I just kept going.
Yeah.
My wife laughs at me because she's like, you woke up out of this back surgery and the first thing you asked is like, Were the rascals okay? Did they get all the stuff they needed for their show? And she's like, that's the first thing you said?
You didn't ask how she was, yeah.
I don't even know if I knew was... I don't know if I was aware enough to know that she was there, but...
And now, and then the first time you went back on stage, how did that feel?
It was a bit weird, but... It was a really weird play, and while I was in the hospital thinking about doing this play, I contacted the playwright down in the States, and he was just like, he heard my situation, and he's just like, any alterations to what I've written, make them so that you can do this play. And I mean, that was really great. And yeah, it was interesting putting my physical limitations into the play as part of my character in the play.
Yeah. And how about when you went back to doing improv?
That was quite a bit weird.
You got to move fast. You got to, you know.
Well, thankfully, my cognitive abilities weren't affected in any way. So, I mean, I kind of still have the, but it, I had to start relying more on wit and character rather than I was a real physical being yeah. before, like a Winnipeg version of John Cleese, maybe.
Yeah, yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah.
Some people called me that. But
no more silly walks for you.
No more silly walks for me. But now it's all trying to build character and trying to build story and improv and that kind of thing. And yeah.
I want to know, sorry, it says tonight is family friendly.
Yes.
Does that mean that really, I was saying that you take some swears out. I mean, is that true? Do you have some language you've had to change? Or?
When I originally wrote it, there was quite a bit more swearing in it. Yeah. And then I had somebody who was reading it and they went, you know, if you took the swears out of this, it would be a really good family show.
Yeah.
But I have one scene in there where I'm just like, it is all sexual innuendo. And yeah. it's not anything worse than what kids are watching on TV these days. But I have some conservative friends that would be quite bothered by it.
Yeah.
So we actually, we were going to cut the scene completely.
Yeah.
But hearing how the scene impacted somebody, we decided just to change the wording.
Yeah.
And we kept the scene in.
Yeah.
So we rewrote the scene on the fly at our first family performance.
And you're no stranger to having to, like, Cross-Eyed Rascals have always been clean.
Always been, yeah.
So it's, you know, you're able to edit yourself. It's not
yes,
something.
But we do have dark shows now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Those are not clean.
Okay. So I was, I don't even want to say what it was, but I was at Improvision last night and people were throwing out ideas.
Yes.
And, I'm not even going to, it goes to a bad place. I'm not even going to, the first idea was something, a profession.
Okay.
And then somebody said, who's doing this job? And somebody yelled out Bill Cosby.
Oh, okay.
And then Audra, who's the arbiter of everything, she said, no, we're not doing that, which was really good. I mean, that was like, because I thought, like, I'm not going to, this is bad news. I don't want to, you know what I mean? So that was kind of interesting because they just cut that off at the pass.
Right.
And, you know, some things that are just kind of pointlessly, like, these are not the jokes I want to make, you know? I can make these jokes, but they're not the ones I want to make.
Right. We had, at our first dark show at this Fringe, somebody yelled out Epstein Island as a suggestion. Oh, and we rolled with it. We took it. And it didn't go to as dark of a place as it could have.
Yeah.
But and I guess that's part of the Cross-Eyed Rascals is that, we can do clean or we can do a little risque. But one thing that we're always going to try and do is sort of redeem the comedy. So even if you get a really gross and unsettling suggestion, it's about trying to redeem it and finding that positive place for it.
So how many people are regulars in the Rascals now?
Right now we have 7.
And how many of those people have been around forever?
Tim and myself, well, Tim Webster's been there since the beginning.
Yeah.
I am the second longest now, the second longest member that's been there. I guess it's close to 22 years.
just realized how old you are. Is that one?
Oh no, I know how old I am. Not many people realize how old I am, but everybody, when, how old are you? Oh, 50. They're like, no. So when people ask me, describe yourself, I'm like, I'm a young 50.
Yeah. The trick is to not have a big gray beard. And
yes.
If your head's going gray, shave your head. I mean, you gotta, you know, also not having kids, that helps.
Yeah. Yes. That's what I say too. I mean, we have cats and they can keep us up at night, but not like kids would.
So what, why do you love theater? Why do you love, improv? Why do you love comedy? Why do you love making people think, making people laugh?
That's a really deep question.
Finally, I've been sitting here for four hours. I finally got a good question.
All right. Why do I like, I mean, I can't really put my finger on it. I mean, I guess I love storytelling.
Yeah.
I love finding myself going into a place where there's a story being told. I really enjoy trying to find new characters and challenging myself to try to be somebody different. Not that I don't appreciate myself, but I part of that becoming a different character is also exploring a different way of potentially looking at life or that sort of thing. Improv has always been fun for me, but also it's helped me improve the way I think about things and how I can problem solve and that kind of stuff. And I mean, when you're thinking about comedy and let's be funny on the spot, and then all of a sudden you're find yourself in an airport and the people there say, oh yeah, you're in charge of all the passengers from this plane, now divvy up where they're going to go to their hotel and that sort of thing. It's like, you're going to make me do what? But just taking that and going, okay, I guess this is where we are. And yeah, improv has helped me with that kind of stuff. I actually found I was a chaplain at Headingley Correctional Center for 2 years.
Okay.
And I found that improv helped me work with the clients that were there as well. And just some of the off the cuff things that they would challenge me at and challenge me with, and I would be able to come up with pretty poignant answers back. And yeah, that's kind of what improv has done for me. But
yeah. You said we when you were talking about writing the show. Did you say we?
Yes, we. I mean, I would say I wrote 95% of it.
Okay, I'm not saying you didn't write it.
No. but I do really want to acknowledge the fact that I wouldn't have wrote it if I wasn't a part of a disabled playwrights circle from Real Wheels Theater out in BC.
Okay.
And it was a group of about 12 of us, and we all challenged each other. We all, you know, read our stuff to one another and took feedback. And then after that was done, I brought it back to other disabled artists who have more experience with the specific disabilities that are portrayed in the play.
Yeah.
And said, am I right with this? Is there something you would add? Is there something you would do? And some of the characters who are in, some of the cast that are in my play actually wrote their own characters and helped me write the dialogue. And I just made sure that the story was in place. But yeah, a lot of it is from real life experiences.
Now, what's the one here? Sick and Twisted Theater? Is that the...
Yes. Pretty much, I met everybody in the cast through Sick and Twisted. No, there are some people I met from through BS Comedy, and then there's one guy in the cast who he's been in my other shows the past 3 years. So,
because I've been sitting here all day talking about, believe it or not, been talking about on and off about accessibility and about okay. about representation, people seeing themselves up on stage, and to me, like I'm very heartened, you know, to see that there's these, you know, groups like Sick and Twisted and people yes. doing stuff like you're doing, and people that are putting themselves out there and you know, making it, you know, less whatever it is, less white, less dudes, less ableist, less, you know, whatever it is.
Yes.
I think that is great because, people come in all shapes and sizes, you know.
It's true, yes.
And what a great thing, like, you know, why wouldn't I want to go see your show? You know, I mean, I'm going to learn some things, but there's a bunch of things that are just universal, right? I mean, we're all the same.
Hey, we're pirates.
Who's in the show?
Oh, we got a cast of 10.
So you can't name them as the...
Oh, no, yeah. I can name them all. Do you want to go through the list?
I don't need to know what they do, but just give me some names here.
Ethan Stark, Diana Razing, Ray Gunn, Corey Quintain, Tim Beaudry, Andrew Tealuk. Now I'm drawing a blank here. Jen.
It's fine. It's fine. You name most of them. You name 95% of them.
If I had a poster, I could name them all.
It's not on here.
Yeah, I'm just.
And how many of those folks are disabled?
And I would say probably 90% of the cast are disabled. And I should say cast and crew, because our director has a disability and our stage manager has a disability, and. Yeah, I think what's interesting is that there's some people in our cast that do not have a disability, and they are portraying somebody with a disability. And that was sanctioned, first of all. It was somebody who just said, hey, that's an okay idea.
Sanctioned by the Council of Disabled.
Yeah, it was like, it's not like, hey, let's bring in somebody to do somebody else's job. No, it was kind of sanctioned in the sense that we're also trying to make a point that when you have invisible disabilities, you don't know if you're dealing with somebody with an invisible disability. So that was kind of the choice to go, hey, this person may or may not be disabled. Yeah. You don't know.
Yeah.
But if you see that they might have a quirk or something, be aware.
Yeah.
Allow them to disclose. I mean, with physical disabilities, it's a lot easier.
Yeah.
I prefer it if people ask if they can help rather than just jumping in.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes I just appreciate when somebody jumps in to help, but there's some things where it's like...
It takes 2 seconds to say, can I help?
So. Yeah. It's like, you know, I can press the button to get through a door. And no, you don't have to push my wheelchair through the door. I can do that.
Yeah.
But...
I mean, and I think if we... And we're obviously not ready for it yet, but I think if we can... if we can move past this place where we're othering people that are disabled, you know, and if we have our spaces, whatever they are,
right,
accessible, and you know, it can be a thing that we ignore. You know what I mean? It can be a thing that just exists, right? I mean, you know, I'm mentally ill. You know, I'm bipolar, I'm ADHD, and that affects me like all the time.
Right.
But it's not a thing that people see. So it's not a thing that, you know,
right.
It's not a thing that somebody can necessarily, just some stranger can necessarily pin on me. You know,
right.
Nobody's trying to push me into the elevator.
Yeah. We have a bipolar character in the show, and it's one of those things that I really didn't know a lot about. So I did a lot of research. I talked to a lot of people who I do know who are bipolar, and just to get their sense of how do we do this character right.
Yeah. And it's like anything, it's a big tent, right? So
right.
I mean, and some